At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line, it's a Football Friday entering its third and final hour. But outside of football, a couple of basketball conversations here to start off this third and final hour. We'll talk college football to set the stage for Saturday. Few games tonight. Big Ten battle out in the Rose Bowl between Iowa and UCLA. A lot to get to here in this final hour of a Friday on the Early Line. He is Joe Ranieri. I am Ben Stevens. We'll talk a little hoops. Marquee college basketball game tonight in Lawrence in the fog between number one Kansas and a top 10 North Carolina team. We've got a really good NBA slate on this Friday. We've got college football to break down in week number 11, the second Saturday in November, the first following the college football playoff rankings reveal and what it means for the final month of this regular season. And then, of course, we will preview the Sunday slate, our week 10 pick 6. The second half of the season officially underway in the NFL and the best bets for the NFL weekend. That comes here in this third hour as well.
Yeah, I can't wait, Ben. I mean, this is the most beautiful time here where we're just kicking off college hoops, NBA in full effect here. Get me some college football, some national championship talk. I'm all in, man.
Yeah, we are certainly all in. And Joe, we wanted to hear from the people, right? Because football is first and foremost. The NFL is always king. If you were to look at a pie graph of how the country bets on what sports, more than 70% is on the NFL, followed by college football, and then the other major professional sports leagues that we see. But at this time of the year, when you add the NBA, now more than 2 weeks into its season, and college hoops in its opening week of the 2024-25 campaign, how are the people feeling about basketball? So that was the question to all of you and Fade the Public. At Sports Grid on Twitter, which do you enjoy more, college basketball or the NBA? Wow, it's a landslide. College basketball with nearly 74% of the vote at Sports Grid on Twitter reigns supreme over the NBA. Joe, that could be a couple of reasons. Maybe we just don't have that many fans of the association following the Sports Grid Twitter account. I voted for college basketball because that is always my preference. Now, in January, in February, and certainly in March, which way did you vote in the Fade the Public poll?
It's interesting, Ben, because I think the NBA offers greater opportunity to cash tickets than college basketball because the variance is over the top. Will say this: it's been my experience that those two, you know, sometimes, if I like college football, I love the NFL. If I like the NFL, I like college football. But that is not what I have found when it comes to basketball. College people who enjoy college basketball, Ben, very rarely follow the NBA. And those that follow the NBA don't watch any college basketball. It's very strange with that sport.
It really is, Joe. I think it's really well said. I think a lot of college basketball fans enjoy college basketball because of the unique beauty of it that oftentimes is not beautiful. There is no doubt the quality of play in the NBA, the scoring, the offensive production is outlandishly better in the association. But for me, college basketball has that beautiful nature to it because it is not. I'm not going to argue that people care more in college or the pageantry of college hoops reigns supreme over the NBA, although I'm sure many would. And I certainly believe early in the regular season for the NBA, outside of opening night, it lacks a little bit of luster until you get to December and a football season winds to a close and a lot more attention then is paid to the NBA. And Joe, to your point, especially now in college basketball, from a sports betting perspective, the variance is crazy. Johnny made this point yesterday. I think we flashed six games on the board last night in college hoops. Everyone featured at least a 17, 18 and a half, maybe even 20 plus point spread. And he basically said, Donnie, a noted non-college basketball fan until conference play in the thick of it in January, that if you bet all the favorites, you probably were going to go at least an even 500, if not 4-2. I believe he was correct. Florida beat Jacksonville by 21. The closing number was 23.5, so I guess Jacksonville does cover. Michigan State rallied, not rallied, but opened it up on Niagara late to cover. I think both Iowa and Wisconsin feature on the board non-covers, and I think USC covered. So we're talking around 50% hit rate in college basketball, because for often moments of the non-conference slate outside of tournaments that present those marquee matchups, you don't get a lot of great games where the spread is single digits or even less than 20, except for some rare instances, Germanary, like we have on this Friday night in the fog. We got a top 10 tilt between Kansas and North Carolina. In what a game it is set out to be. Two of the biggest brands in blue bloods in the sport facing off inside Allen Fieldhouse. The fog early on a Friday of this college basketball season. The Jayhawks, 7.5-point home favorite as the number one team in the country. Total 159.5 against number 9 North Carolina. Ranieri, if you had to break down this early season college hoops game, where do you start?
You start by expecting points from both of these teams, and that's exactly what I'm thinking here, Ben. It would be an over here. Kansas was a 7.5-8-point favorite somewhere in that ballpark. And listen, it's we all know that's an extremely one of the toughest places to play in college basketball. There is a distinct home court advantage there at Fog Allen. However, both these teams have returned a lot of snipers. Hunter Dickinson's back for his 90th year, it looks like. So I don't think scoring is going to be a problem. And I always look for teams this time of year to spend more time being interested in scoring the ball than playing defense. And I think that's going to be on full display here. Far too much firepower on both sides to think this is going to be a knockdown, drag them out. Plus the tempo. We'll be there, Ben. Right. We'll have enough possessions to expect this thing to get into the 160s here tonight.
And that's a huge point, right? Kansas scored 90 in their season opener against Elon. They also allowed, North Carolina scored 90 in their season opener against Elon and allowed 76. They did not cover as a 28-point favorite, didn't even really come halfway close to that. And still, we went over 153.5. KU beat Howard by 30, 87-57. They added it up. Kansas is the number one team in the AP poll entering a season, and now that the season is underway for a second consecutive year, but they were not great a season ago. North Carolina returns R.J. Davis in plenty for Hubert Davis this year as well. I lean with points. 159.5 is high for a college basketball total. Don't think it is high enough. And credit to Kansas, because they play in this game tonight, non-conference hosting North Carolina. It really doesn't hurt your resume by the time you get to Selection Sunday to have marquee matchups early in the year, because they're not quad 3-4 losses and could be a quad 1 win. KU will also play in the Champions Classic on Tuesday against Michigan State. I agree, Joe. The pace and tempo should be there to see at least a buck 60 tonight in the fog. NBA season off to a start as well. And the only undefeated team remaining is the Cleveland Cavaliers, a perfect 9-0. They have covered in 8. The Golden State Warriors are 7-1. Joe, they're a perfect 5-0 on the road, both straight up and against the spread. Finals preview, of course, when you think Warriors, Cavaliers, you think finals rematch. They met in 4 straight NBA finals from 2015 to 2018. How do you see this game tonight in the land? Do the Cavs remain imperfect.
Yeah, well, again, another one of these, Ben, where I'm expecting points because both of these teams are going to have to shoot it in order to be able to pull away from one another. I lean Golden State, but I also like the over, actually, in this one. I think this is a good, a fun game tonight.
I'll bet the five with Golden State and expect a tight and competitive game. Golden State, by the way, over in four of those five road victories this year. Back to football, but in the college ranks. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The second Saturday in the month of November, in the final month of this 2024 college football season, after the unveiling of the first college football playoff rankings, not just this year, but in the 12-team era of the expanded college football playoff. So every game adds on that significance now in the eyes of the selection committee. And if you want significant, you want the SEC on Saturday. Let's start late night in Baton Rouge. A night game in Death Valley inside Tiger Stadium is one of the most vaunted atmospheres you will find in the sport. You know what makes it even scarier for the opposing side? A live tiger on the sideline. Louisiana's governor is going to reportedly bring in a live tiger to the game, something the LSU team used to do, and they have a live tiger on campus, Mike the Tiger, but it's not even that tiger. Again, it's just the greatness of college football. It's Alabama. It's LSU. The Crimson Tide, number 11 in the first CFP rankings. LSU barely staying in the top 15 at 15th overall. In the Crimson Tide, Joe, a 2.5-point road favorite in Baton Rouge. It's an elimination game of sorts. De facto, even in this new era, both teams already have two losses this year. We might see a three-loss team into the CFP, but you would need some help. So to keep your season on track, who gets a victory tomorrow night inside live Tiger Stadium?
So I don't understand this line at all because as far as I'm concerned, there is literally nothing separating these two teams that would warrant Alabama to be laying a field goal on the road. So what you're telling me is that this is Alabama is 6 points better on a neutral site? If we're considering 2 to 3 points as a home field advantage, like, are you kidding? I don't think so here. Not to mention, I think there is a serious issue with the books and the lines this year in the SEC. Why? Because it's parity, people, and we're not used to seeing that in the SEC. Underdogs in the SEC league play, guys, are 29-13 against the number this year in the SEC. Whoa. 29-13. The dogs have been cashing left and right. Why? Because of parity. So when all things being equal, if I have a home team like LSU with a track record of being able to show up at night on their own home field as an underdog, not to mention I have Brian Kelly, who has been absolute money in this spot over the years, 20-11 against the number with extra time to prepare both these teams off the bye. He's also 28-13-1 as an underdog of at least a field goal. The wrong team is favored. LSU at home should be the favorite, which means there is a ton of value with backing LSU in this game.
What a great stat that is. In a year of parity, in a generational season for teams around the country and in the SEC, performing in ways we have not seen in decades, 29-13 underdogs in SEC action. That is conference games. That is huge against the number. Joe, I think we see some points. I'm having a tough time getting a read on this game. LSU's defense was better, and then Marcel Reed ran for 62 yards in the second half and three scores, who also is mobile. Jalen Milroe, who ran for more than 100 last year against this LSU defense, that is better. under Blake Baker, but still has some issues. And Alabama did stifle and shut out Missouri the last time we saw the Crimson Tide on a football field 2 weekends ago, but they allowed at least 24 in their previous 4 SEC games. Don't have a great read on that, but that underdog stat in SEC conference games this year, important to note. Might it carry over to our next spot that we will go to in the Grove in another top 20 showdown between Ole Miss and Georgia? The Bulldogs, 2.5-point road favorite in Oxford. Total 55 and a hook. Two really good defenses on display inside the Grove on Saturday afternoon. And yet, Joe, here we are again. Road team, a slight favorite, less than a field goal. How do you break it down?
Well, I don't know whether or not they're both play or not, because Lane Kiffin sometimes is a little goofy like this. But, I mean, is Trey Harris or Jordan Watkins? They were both listed as doubtful early in the week. We know that their running back, Henry Parrish, won't play. But having Trey Harris and Jordan Watkins on the outside would be huge for Ole Miss, to say the least. I think this is another one of these where the play just stuck out to me. It's the most obvious. How are we getting over 55.5 points here? Nobody wants to give this Ole Miss defense any credit, and yet they are one of the best havoc-wrecking defenses in the country this year. They show it time and time again. Not to mention, we got a quarterback who has the yips here for Georgia. How many more interceptions is he going to throw over the next couple of weeks? I think what that's going to force Kirby Smart to do is make this all about time of possession. I don't think he's going to have him dropping back Beck at all, causing against this defense. I think this becomes a one possession game throughout. I just don't think we're getting over 55.5 points here, Ben. I think the defenses are going to be the story in this game.
Georgia's defense has been so much better. I still think they would have been fine last week against DJ Lagway in Florida. They do get a bump, of course, from playing Aiden Warner in the Gators team for a good majority of that. But to Joe's point, Ole Miss's defense has been elite. We know that Lane Kiffin and the Run and Rebs offense does that. They run. They have so many plays in a game, which puts added pressure on a defense. Ole Miss has been on the field for 645 snaps this year. It's the third most usage a power conference defense has seen, and they are allowing just 4.4 yards per play. Every other defense in the country that has been on the field for more than 600 snaps is allowing at least 4.8 yards per play. And the Run and Rebs are the second best rushing defense in all of college football. And Georgia has struggled to establish the run so far this season. We've got so many good games to get through. We will fly around the country up next. But of course, it's a significant Saturday in the SEC. There are five undefeated teams at the FBS level left this year entering week 11. Miami is one. Indiana is another. Army, BYU, and of course, Oregon. We'll talk about all of those teams up next here on the Early Line on a Football Friday with a preview of the College Saturday slate.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Miami Hurricanes are a perfect 9-0 for the first time since 2017, and Miami is a double-digit favorite this weekend in Atlanta against Georgia Tech. Now, Tech often seen as a very good underdog. Of course, they won outright in Dublin week 0 to start the year against Florida State. They have been a dog three other times since that. They have not covered the number. Will Miami continue its role in the ACC, Joe, on Saturday against the Yellow Jackets?
Is Haynes King playing? Is he not playing? That's going to be, of course, the big question. They think he's going to go. They were hoping he was going to be back. Quite honestly, I don't think it matters. I usually break out in hives, and I have been all year long thinking about the last time Georgia Tech and Miami played, and I had to watch, instead of Mario Cristobal tell the Miami quarterback Van Dyke to just kneel on the ball since the game was over. They decided to run a play and then fumbled it. And then Hames King came back and won that game three plays later. I don't think that's going to happen this game. But I also don't trust Miami early. They seem to be playing from behind a lot here, Ben. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
So if I was going to look at Georgia Tech, I would look at Georgia Tech in the first half. And then I would look for a live betting opportunity to come right back in on Miami in the second half. I think that's the way you play these games from here on out with them.
Yeah, I think so as well, Joe. But the Canes have been really good up front. One of the better rushing defenses in the country, whether it's Haynes King or Zach Pyron. I'm not sure it really matters. But again, it's a double-digit spread. And as a double-digit dog entering this year, the Bees were 7-3 against the number with Brent Key. They are now just 7-5 ATS. The Holy War and the 102nd edition of it. Saturday night in Salt Lake between BYU and Utah. Back as conference rivals, in-state foes as well. BYU only 9th. Despite a perfect 8-0 record in the first CFP rankings. And Joe, this feels like a trappy spot. 3-point spread in favor of the Cougs. Utah is not the team we expected entering this year. Who's playing quarterback? Anybody's guess is as good as anybody else's. But Utah is great defensively. Is BYU on upset alert Saturday night at Rice-Eccles?
Gotta love this one, right? Could this be the swan song here for Utah and Willingham? But listen, the points that Utah have scored in the last five games, you ready? 22, 10, 19, 7, and 14. Now, they did make a change at the offensive coordinator position, and they had a bye week to try to figure this out, no matter who the quarterback is. But because of those low scorings, they've lost four of those five games. They only beat Oklahoma State barely, and Oklahoma State has lost six in a row. So I do think BYU's defense is starting to show cracks. I think teams are starting to figure it out here a little bit. They've scored 28, 19, 35, and 24 points again. So I think Utah at home has a good opportunity to win this game outright. I think defensively they'll be able to hold BYU. This is another one, Ben, where how are we getting points exactly with these two defenses and these two offenses?
Yeah, don't know. Utah under in 7 of 8 games. Joe, let's fly around. Indiana is perfect. 9-0 to start a season for the first time ever in program history. Indiana is favored to beat Michigan in a football game for the first time since 1968. And it's not by a point or a field goal or a touchdown.
Nope.
It's more than two TDs. IU laying 14.5 in Bloomington against the reigning national champs, who have certainly not been that this season. Joe, how do you see Saturday in Bloomington playing out between Indiana and Michigan?
What do the kids say? Yeah, Indiana by a million. Don't overthink it. Stop waiting for Indiana to fall all over themselves. They won't do it. I like them in the first half as well, Ben.
It's a great look, Joe. They had not trailed in a game until last week against Michigan State. They showed their resolve. They had not given up an opening quarter score since the season opener until last week against Michigan State. Indiana, the only team in the country that ranked top 10 in scoring in total offense and in scoring in total defense. Big 12 bash on Saturday afternoon in Lubbock. Colorado still in the hunt for a Big 12 championship. Now a 4.5-point favorite against Texas Tech. Are the Buffs on upset alert in Lubbock?
Yeah, I think they are, but I also think the over is the best look in this game. Expect a ton of points from these two offenses.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult for either side to contain the other. Colorado not great against the run, 4.1 yards per pop. Enter Taj Brooks, who has had at least 109 rushing yards in every single game. And Texas Tech is the second worst passing defense in the country. We'll show you the rest of the CFB slate and then pick six next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on a Football Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Before we get to our Week 10 Pick 6 and the NFL weekend and our favorite picks and bets, let's take one final look at other notable Week 11 college football games on this second Saturday in November. Oregon is the number one team in the CFP rankings. They have been the number one team in the AP poll for the last 3 weeks. And Joe, they look the part of it. Back inside Autzen as a 23.5-point favorite against Maryland. Texas laying more than 3 touchdowns against Florida. The Gators quarterback situation a little bit precarious. Penn State hoping to bounce back to Ohio State. A great favorite, a bad underdog. It's why the Nittany Lions are laying near 2 touchdowns against Washington. A game we all circled early in the year. Florida State headed to South Bend to take on top 10 Notre Dame. Not anymore. FSU stinks. 25.5-point spread in favor of the Irish. How will Ashton Gentry add to his Heisman Trophy campaign? And Army looks to stay unbeaten and improve to 9-0 with a tricky one against a really high-powered North Texas offense led by their quarterback, Chandler Morris. Joe, of all those games, all 6 on your screen, which gets your most attention?
Well, I just want to apologize ahead of time for those UF folks that might be watching right now. Don't watch this game against Texas. It's not going to be pretty. And Ben, if I'm a Florida State fan, the team blows, but I can cash a ticket by betting their team total under every week from here on out, which is exactly what I'm going to do.
Yeah, listen, I bet it already. It was 13.5. It's now 12.5.
Yep.
I actually took it under 10.5 because it was a sprinkle of plus money. If DJ Lagway even plays, he was carted off with a hamstring injury. They're listing him as questionable. It was not as severe as they once thought. You got to be carted off for a hamstring injury. You're not nearly 90%, and you're playing a Texas defense that is still incredibly stout. If it's Aiden Warner, listen, he's a smart kid, right? The transfer from Yale with Florida bloodlines in his family. Both his parents were Gators, as we learned on the broadcast last week in Jacksonville. It's going to be incredibly difficult. Total is dropping as well for the game overall. 49.5 is now 47. Oof. And a hook. I like the total to the over between Oregon and Maryland. Maryland has played to the over in 7 of 8 games. They can't stop anybody in Big Ten play. Oregon names its number. And again, Penn State, in the last 2 years, is 28-2.5 years now. 28-1 straight up as a favorite. The only loss to the Peach Bowl last year against Ole Miss as a dog 5 times against Ohio State 3 and Michigan twice. They're 0-5. But when it's not the Buckeyes or the Wolverines, Penn State's pretty good. I expect a bounce back. Army in North Texas, man. If Bryson Daly plays, over. If he doesn't, you got to worry about the Black Knights in this spot. Of course, he was ruled out late last week. Dwayne Coleman led Army to a big victory over Air Force. It is time for our Week 10 NFL Pick 6. A reminder, here are the 6 categories in the Pick 6. Our favorite touchdown score, a moneyline underdog to pull off the outright upset, alt line with a sprinkle of plus money, our favorite yardage prop of the weekend, and we combine forces for a 2-leg 6-point teaser. This week, I promise it is going to hit. So, Joe, we saw the board very similarly in a couple of spots last week. We start the same way here entering Week 10 in the second half. We've got this, the same touchdown score. I'll let you bat leadoff.
To me, I'm going to go to that Philadelphia-Dallas game, and I'm going to look at Jalen Hurts for a tush-push goal here, which has become quite the staple of the Eagles scoring drives. I think it's hitting 3 games now, 3 straight games, 4 of the last 5, and which is odd because you think with Saquon Barkley on the team that he'd be some sort of TD machine. But he's not. He gets him to the goal line, and then they trust Jalen Hurts and the offensive line to get him in there at plus money, at even money. Quite honestly, I don't see any reason not to expect that to happen against this Dallas defense.
Joe, it's one of the reasons that it was my favorite touchdown score as well. Plus 105 for a guy that has scored 6 touchdowns in the last 3 games, that has multiple touchdowns then, of course, in 2 of the last 3. A guy that has scored in 5 of the 8 games his team has played this year in 4 of the last 5. If he wasn't a quarterback, that number would be minus 185. Derrick Henry was minus 260 to hit Pater. but it's because he's a quarterback, and still the main thing he does is throw the football to others and hand the football off to others who are reportedly having better chances to find pay dirt. Not in this Eagles offense. If it's the tush push, great. If it's Hurts just utilizing his legs against a banged up Dallas, an atrocious Dallas defense, who is third worst in the league at defending the run, great. Plus 105 for Jalen Hurts to find Pater. Moneyline underdog that might pull off the outright upset, Germanary. Which game are you targeting?
Well, I am going to go to the Indianapolis Colts taking on the Buffalo Bills here. And listen, there aren't a ton of great looking dogs here, but I do think that there is a big letdown coming here for the Buffalo Bills. On deck is the Kansas City Chiefs here. And listen, as good as they have looked, and they have looked good, dropping 30 points right on their last three games on teams. I just feel like Indy coming off a terrible game. Joe Flacco, they've obviously made the decision that if they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to do it with Joe Flacco at quarterback. I think they got a pretty good shot of catching this in a flat spot here for Buffalo, maybe looking ahead. Not only would I take the points, I would definitely sprinkle on the money line here. Oh, and by the way, this is now the fifth road game in seven games here for Buffalo. It's not been a great schedule.
No, it is not. And they are back home next week in week 11, hosting the Chiefs. That will be a big game for Buffalo, where the Bills have had the upper hand and the advantage in regular season matchups against KC. Yep. Of course, it's been a different story come the postseason. Last week, Joe, I actually thought the Colts would stay in the game Sunday night in Minneapolis, maybe even strike the upset, because he had let Joe Flacco go and let him rip. Threw the ball 27 times for less than $180 and a pick. That cannot be the offense that Shane Steichen desires if Flacco is the answer. If he's going to perform like that and you're going to lose and not cover against teams like Minnesota, just play Anthony Richardson. All that to say, I don't expect it to be the same recipe for Flacco at home. I think we see some points, and I think it is a trappy spot for Buffalo. The Colts were also a perfect 5-0 against the spread team as a dog entering Sunday night last week. This could be a challenging game for the Buffalo Bills. My moneyline underdog, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not just because the Steelers are a great underdog, as we know, under Mike Tomlin, or even recently, they've been a dog twice this year. They've won outright in both of those games. They are 13-11 as an underdog post Big Ben. That's the start of 2022, along with the Chiefs. They are the only two underdog teams that have a winning record outright in that span. I also just believe, although the Commanders are a really good team and will make the playoffs, they're not going to just win every game the remainder of the way. So I think they come back down ever so slightly, and Pittsburgh has figured something out with Russell Wilson as its starting quarterback, not that Justin Fields did not. He was 4-2 as a starter. Quickly, Joe, your under of the weekend is what?
I'm going to stick in that game, the Bills and the Colts here. Again, Bills playing their fifth road game in 7 weeks, coming off an emotional win over a division rival in Miami. Chiefs on deck. And if the Colts are going to have a chance, and I think they're a live dog here, they're not going to have a chance of winning this in a shootout. I think they have to limit Buffalo. I think they will. And I think we're going to get less than the 47.5 points.
Yeah, you know, I do think we see some points, but that's a lofty total, right? And if Buffalo is going to be on upset alert, maybe it keeps this game under as well. I'll give you my favorite under of the weekend, and we'll continue. The Week 10 NFL Pick 6, live right here on a Football Friday on the Early Line on SportsGrid. Come back and join us after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue our Week 10 NFL Pick 6, our favorite bets for the weekend that is about to come around the National Football League. Joe, your favorite under, Bills, Colts, under 48, now 47 and a hook. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's kind of the theme for the Titans and the Chargers, under 38.5. Again, you find me 39 points, as I said last week, between the Titans and the Pats, and the game even went to overtime and stayed under. I shake your hand. The Chargers have gone under in 7 of 8 games this year, in 4 of their 5 wins. Tennessee has scored 17 points or less in all 6 of their losses as a 2-6 football team. And if you put the guy wearing 8 in that white uniform, Will Levis, back on the field, alternate under 31.5. I'm going to continue to think this game stays under. The Titans are a good rush defense, but LA is going to just want to run the football for the most part. Game stays under 38.5. Even Jurinary, if your alt line with a little bit of plus money does hit, and that would be the quarterback for the Bolts on that side of the game against Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm going to look to Justin Herbert over his 1.5 touchdown passes here. And let's face it, the Chargers early in the season were a running team. Why? Well, a lot of that had to do with the fact that Herbert was hurt. You don't forget the foot injuries he sustained during training camp. Well, I can tell you in the last couple of games, yeah, he's averaging 38 dropbacks, 22 completions, 287 yards a game. He's already cashed this prop twice in a row. And the Titans, yeah, well, when you look at the quarterbacks the Titans have faced, Jared Goff, Josh Allen, Joe Flacco, Aaron Rodgers, guess what? All of them threw more than 1.5 touchdown passes. No reason to think that the scoring is only coming from the Chargers, and chances are a couple of touchdown passes in the future for Herbert.
And I'm cool with that. By the way, in all 5 wins for LA, it was my favorite TD score last week for a reason. Almost thought about just going back to it because the Bolts are a 7.5-point favorite. J.K. Dobbins has scored a touchdown. Even if they get 4 touchdowns and it's 28-something, I think it still stays under 38.5. Alt line, you gave yours there, plus 125. Mine is the 49ers team total over 33.5. Now, the Niners team total is in the upper 20s just as it is against Tampa Bay. Total for the game is 50.5. San Francisco, with the addition and the return and the season debut of Christian McCaffrey, is a 6.5-point favorite now. And so it really doesn't take much to get it to plus money. 30.5 is plus 102. 31.5 is like plus 116. But I was like, I'm trying to give out a real bit of plus money. So we go over 33.5 at plus 200. The Niners in all 4 wins this year, they're just 4-4. But in all 4 wins, San Francisco has gone over. San Francisco has covered. San Francisco has scored at least 30 points. The Buccaneers, shorthanded, have allowed at least 27 points in each of their last 5 games. They have also, sadly, dropped 4 of their last 5, and they have allowed at least 30 points in all 4 of those losses. And let's remember what San Francisco did out of the bye last year against Jacksonville. They had lost 3 straight, ending out in week number 8, had a week 9 bye. They play a competitive Jaguars team on the other side. They blitzed them 34-3 to start a 6-game win streak. San Francisco with a good sprinkle of plus money. And don't forget, you don't have to go all the way up to 33.5 in terms of that alt market, but I did 33.5 at plus 200 over for the 49ers team total. Favorite yardage prop of the weekend, Joe Ranieri, who are you targeting?
I am going to head to the Washington and Pittsburgh game. I'm going to look at Najee Harris over his 63.5 total rushing yards. And let's face it, you mentioned it earlier, Ben, since Russell Wilson has taken over as the Pittsburgh QB, he has rushed 19-plus times in both games for over 100 yards each time. Going up against a Washington defense that is surrendering the 4th most rushing yards a game. I thought the game total was too low, and I also think this rushing prop number is too low, given that they have much more balance with the threat of the long ball here and the ability to be able to push the ball downfield. I think Najee Harris is primed to have another big game on the ground in this one.
Yeah, and Joe, based on that yardage prop, it doesn't even have to be all that big. Najee Harris has reached the century mark in 3 consecutive games. That number is 63.5. The Giants, The New York Football Giants put up 164 rushing yards against the Commanders last week. I don't know. I mean, that's just expecting the Steelers not to be a great offense, but they haven't been pretty bad at all this year, but certainly with Russell Wilson. Really intriguing number that I think is a discount. I think the Bears win big on Sunday back in Chicago. I think being back home after the tumultuous last 2 weeks is going to be a good ingredient for the Bears against the Patriots defense that against the run is also bottom 10 in the NFL. And Joe, the Chicago Bears are a perfect 3-0 at home in Soldier Field in the Windy City, and they have been a favorite in all three games, and they have covered the number. And DeAndre Swift has been a big reason why, at least in their last two home victories. DeAndre Swift 82 scrimmage yards in the last five games, but prior to last week when the Bears looked rather lifeless in Arizona, at least 119 scrimmage yards in four straight. 93.5 is the rushing plus receiving yards prop against the New England Patriots. I initially thought of just his rushing yards number in the low 70s, but he is so involved in the pass game out of the backfield as well, especially as the Bears struggle to protect Caleb Williams. I was like, if I only got to add on 20, fine, over 93.5 for DeAndre Swift against that Patriots defense on Sunday.
Yeah, I know that's another number, Ben. That's a bit head scratching to me. I am with you. I expect another big effort on the ground there. The less you ask of your rookie quarterback, I think the better in games like this.
And you need it, right? And you hope the Bears are bought back in, because that would be the only thing that scares me about Chicago winning big on Sunday. Is the locker room done after Matt Eberfluser and Shane Waldron have just ruined the last 2 weeks and the prospect of a promising rookie season for Caleb Williams? We combine forces for our two-leg six-point teaser to round out the pick six next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We round out this Football Friday live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. We finish off the pick six. We recap the pick six to give you our favorite bets for week number 10, the second half of the 2024 NFL season, now officially underway. We have not been great in our 6.2 leg teasers. One of us has been missing pretty much each and every week. Not this week, even extended into Monday. I hope we even see Monday, because I'll go off first, Joe, and then you can round us out.
Sure.
My pick is Sunday, the 49ers. I expect San Francisco to win big, as the odds do as well. 6.5-point spread on the road against the shorthanded Buccaneers. Now, Tampa is 3-3 against the spread this year as an underdog. You saw them, of course, force overtime and cover as a 9.5-point dog against Kansas City. I don't think that's going to continue this week. But even outside of that, I'll take the Niners from a 6.5-point favorite down through three and basically just say win the game, San Francisco, which is what I think they do comfortably. 49ers at a pick'em price. Joe, let's go to Monday night and your second leg to anchor this 6-point teaser.
Yeah, and listen, are we at the point now where we're thinking the Rams are just going to run away from teams here? And I like the Rams. I like that the defense has gotten healthier. It's gotten better, but I'm sorry. I being able to get the Dolphins over a touchdown, they're a 1.5-point dog right now, teasing it up to 7.5. To me, it's a one-score game. Tua now has had a couple of weeks. They should have won that game against Buffalo last week. I definitely think they're going to be able to take advantage here of that young secondary of the Rams. Expect a big game from Tyreek Hill and company. I think they have a shot at not only covering this, Ben, but maybe even winning it outright. So I'll go ahead and take the 7.5 points with Miami.
The Finns have not been a great underdog with Mike McDaniel, who became a coach, of course, in South Florida to start 2022. They are just 7-11 against the spread as an underdog, did cover last week against Buffalo. But, Joe, Miami can't just cover anymore. They need to win games outright, starting 2-6. They have three, just three, outright wins in those 18 games as a dog with McDaniel as the head coach. It is the second fewest in the NFL of any underdog in double-digit games in that 2.5 year span. Only the Chargers, who have just one outright win as an underdog since 2022, has less than Miami. All right, Joe, let's go back to the pick six. Make sure everybody has every single selection for Sunday and Monday. Rattle off your pick six in full just to recap everything on this board.
Sure. Going Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown. We're going to look at Indy as your money line underdog. I do like the under, though, in that Buffalo and Colts game. Justin Herbert will be my alt line going up and over 1.5 touchdown passes. Najee Harris over 63.5 rushing yards. And the teaser leg for me will be the Miami Dolphins getting 7.5.
Like that, take it through the two key numbers of 3 and 7. It's now 7 and a hook. I'll start with my favorite touchdown score. It's the same exact guy. It's Philadelphia's quarterback in Dallas on Sunday, Jalen Hurts at +105. We said it, Joe, and breaking it down. He's got 6 rushing touchdowns in the last 3 games. If that was the case for anybody not playing quarterback, the number would be -150. It's +105. I like that price. Dallas is atrocious defensively. My moneyline underdog, the Steelers, to win outright against the Commanders. Still think Washington is a good team. I just think the Steelers are a great underdog. In both of their games as a dog this year, they've won outright. They're 13-11 straight up as an underdog since the start of 2022. My favorite under, Titans. Chargers, under 38.5. You're going to play Will Levis. Good luck, Titans offense. And if you're playing the Chargers, who have gone under in 7 of 8 games, points at a premium. Alt line, 49ers with Christian McCaffrey back over their team total of 33.5 at +200. Again, you can still get plus money on a lower alternate. I just think they go off against the shorthanded Buccaneers, who have allowed 30 points in 4 of their last 5 games, all 4 losses. My favorite yardage prop, DeAndre Swift, over the combo number, rushing plus receiving of 93.5 against the New England Patriots. Chicago at home. I expect them to win comfortably, as do I expect the 49ers. Take them down from a 6.5-point road favorite in Tampa to just a pick'em price against the Buccaneers. Joe, that's that for a Football Friday. I'll see you tomorrow on a Saturday, my man, for college football.
Looking forward to it. Great games tomorrow here, Ben. Let's go. We're that much closer to a 12-team playoff.
Ooh, and I think you're working at Game Time Decisions, right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's
I'll
the
be
case.
There.
Have a wonderful Friday, Joe Ranieri. And to all of you, have a wonderful weekend. The Early Line is back on Monday.